My foster parents didn't just teach me to fish. They taught me that persistence and patience pay off. They didn't just teach me to bake the perfect birthday cake. They also taught me to measure and meet my own potential. They didn't just teach me to garden. They taught me to plant seeds and watch them grow. And they didn't just teach me to walk. They taught me to stand on my own 2 feet. Foster a child and change their future. Visit youthvillages.org/foster.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This is the All Things Bama Podcast, powered by the Bama Central Broadcast Network.
Welcome in to the All Things Bama Podcast. I am your host, Mason Woods, and I am joined here, as always, by my good friend Joe Gaither, host of the Joe Gaither Show. You can make sure to like and subscribe to that one. We just got done recording an episode there, so make sure you go listen to that today after you get done here. We got a few topics for today's shows that I would like to get into. We're going to run through rounds 2 through 7 of the NFL draft. We're going to look at the Bama guys that heard their names called last week. Alabama saw 7 players selected across the 7 rounds of the NFL draft. We're going to spend a little bit of time giving some updates on the recruiting trail, as looks like Alabama may just be closing in on some of their top prospects from next year's class. Some of the top guys on their board. You know, we gave an update last week with Brandon Arrington and Xavier Crowell, I think, or maybe that was earlier this week on your show, Joe. I can't remember now. It all starts to run together. But we will get into a bit of recruiting updates from this week for Alabama. We also have to talk a bit of Bama hoops. They did dip back into the transfer portal this week, maybe not with the name that people were expecting to hear. Instead, Alabama lands Tarleton State transfer Keaton Bristow. So we will get into that. You know, maybe some people are hoping to hear some more news, but we will talk about those things. And finally, we're going to close everything down today with a little bit of baseball and softball talk. Both teams picked up massive series sweeps over conference foes this week. And seems like they could be one step closer to hosting a regional, both of them. But before we get into any of those things, I want to remind you all to go follow Joe and I on Twitter at JoeGaither6, at MAWoods_. If you haven't already, go like and subscribe to the podcast. Rate us 5 stars on whatever platform you get your podcast from, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you may find it. Joe, before we do anything, I got to ask, how are we doing today?
Oh, doing great. Excited for the weekend. Yeah, excited to get into some All Things Bama with you, Mason. Let's do it. A little recruiting and follow along with you.
Yeah, so we're a bit far removed now from the NFL draft. You know, concluded last weekend, but we didn't have the chance to talk about anything outside of the first round. We got through the first round on last week's episode. You know, obviously Tyler Booker, Jahad Campbell getting selected. Tyler Booker, 12th overall to the Cowboys. Jahad, 31 to the Eagles. We talked about those fits, how both of those players, we are fairly confident, will have a lot of success in both of those uniforms. But as far as rounds 2 through 7, Alabama did not hear, nobody came off the board in round 2, right? Jalen Milroe had to wait until round three.
Yep. Yeah,
Jalen Milroe goes 3rd round, I think it was, 90-something overall to the Seattle Seahawks. I know I had it. Oh, 93 overall to the Seahawks. Good on you, Seahawks. You know, somebody was going to take a flyer on Jalen Milroe. I think the Seahawks are a decent team to do it. It seems like they like to run the ball a lot. You know, I'll say I'm cautiously optimistic of Jalen Milroe on the Seahawks. I think it could go well.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to get his 3 to 4 year contract. I think it's 3 with the fourth year's out for the team.
What did Sam Darnold sign with them?
A pretty big chunk.
Was it? He signed for a long time. 3 years. He's got a 3 year deal for, yeah.
So this is the long runway for Jalen.
Yeah.
This is the long runway for Jalen to learn an NFL system, to learn from an NFL veteran. Sam Darnold might be able to help him teach him, you know, some of Sam Darnold had a really rocky start to his NFL career. I think that maybe viewing from a positive, Sam Darnold can say, hey, these are some things I learned in my first few years of the Jets that really messed me up, Jets and Panthers. And then I had
seeing ghost thing still follows him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And shoot, maybe he can help Jalen with feeling the pocket or, you know, the tricks that he learned to get over it and... But I'm with you. I think it's a good fit because you're not going to get thrown onto the field right away. And it's an organization that is obviously in a little bit of transition. Second year coach with Mike McDonald. I think it's a good fit for him.
Yeah, and you mentioned Mike McDonald. This is a guy who is coming from a job with the Ravens where he worked with Lamar Jackson. Now, I'm not saying Lamar Jackson and Jalen Milroe are the same type of player. I actually made it very clear throughout the last few months that I do not think they are the same type of player. But both of them kind of had similar deficiencies, you can say. I think Lamar struggled a little bit with accuracy coming into the NFL. Jalen Milroe more so, obviously. But Mike McDonald obviously was able to help Lamar Jackson rein in some of those things in the time he was with Baltimore. And I think the 2 years he was there, 3 years he was there, Lamar won MVP two of them. So... you know, maybe he can get that same kind of level out of Jalen Milroe. Who knows? But yeah, you mentioned Cooper Kupp. I think you said you got some decent weapons on offense. You got Kenneth Walker in the backfield, Cooper Kupp, Jackson Smith, and Jigba. So not like world stoppers, but not necessarily, you know, bums either on the offense. I feel okay that, you know, if Sam Darnold goes down or something like that, Jalen Milroe could get in this season and maybe be okay. But definitely it's probably a much more long-term thing for him. Or it's... we're going to let Sam play this contract out, and then if we like what we have in you, Jalen, you might take over.
Yeah, I think that Jalen's going to be used as in 2025 in select situations. Maybe tush push, maybe quarterback run spots. I don't know. I think that if I were
tush push, that's a perfect place to take because okay. Robbie Utes, also selected by the Seattle Seahawks. Now, he was the... second, third, fourth, fifth guy here on my list, selected in the fifth round, 175 overall, but pairs him back up with Jalen Milroe. The Seahawks do. They might just, do they now have the best tush push in football? Like, who's.
Well, it's not better than the. I mean, the Eagles still have the standard.
Sure.
But you're
until
in.
Until somebody takes over that
right.
top role.
You're in contention.
I mean, come on. Like, you throw Robbie Utes and Jalen Milroe out there, I don't think a train could stop those two.
Let's see who else is in their front little middle there. They've got.
I know they drafted Gray Zabel from North
Dakota. Okay, yeah, brand new guard, perfect. Third round Christian Haynes at third round in 2024. Oluwatafemi, I think is how you say his name. Okay, at center. All right, great. Let's do it. Get under
the
center.
Titans drafted this year a Femi Olu something. Just the opposite name. That's funny. Yeah.
His name is Oluwatimi. Oluwatimi. Oluwatimi.
Great. Good on him. That will probably be Jalen's role. I don't think you're sticking Sam Darnold out there to QB sneak much. But similar to how the Eagles run the tush push, it's like everybody knows it's coming. If you can't stop it, you can't stop it. It is what it is. So if they send Jalen out there, hey, strap it up, buddy. We need you to get 2 yards. I think he'd probably be okay with that role. And I imagine he'd be pretty good at it.
Pretty good at it, and you know, whatever it takes to cash your checks, my friend.
Hey, man.
And if you can do that role while learning to play quarterback, brother, do it. Because all he wants to, he doesn't want to switch to tight end. He don't want to switch to anything at all. So like, yeah, accept the position as maybe a short yardage back sort of. And
he's in a very good spot here to just be able to sit for a while. Because like you know, like we just said, Sam Darnold, a 3-year contract that is going to line up basically right with the end of Jalen Milroe's rookie deal, essentially, because what he gets 4 years because he was a third round pick. So he doesn't get the extra year added on, you know, like the first rounders do. But that kind of puts not only Jalen in a good spot, but puts the Seahawks in a decent spot to just say, like, all right, we have 3 years of a guy who, mind you, has only played good football for 1 year in the NFL, but that was a pretty good 1 year. And, you know, we feel confident that. We paid him a lot of money to come here and do that for a few seasons, and you give Jalen Milroe the opportunity to just very slowly learn the game and not really have any pressure put on him. And then, yeah, in 3 years' time, if you feel comfortable, you don't have to go draft anybody else. You don't have to go sign a big free agent like you did this year. You've had a homegrown talent that has just been waiting in the rafter.
be perfect for the Seahawks. They can just turn it over, not have to draft somebody, and they can add skill position. Now, if he's at the end of that contract and he hasn't really played, then they can, if they believe in him, sign him to a below market deal. It might work out for you. Still add pieces with the below market deal.
I think that, you know, now everything has to go perfectly, obviously, but if everything does, it's a pretty good spot for Jalen to be in. Next guy that comes off the board, and I did not see this coming. I was completely incorrect about who would be the... You put your poll out about, I think, once Milroe got drafted, who'd be the next guy off the board, and I felt good with my Tim Smith selection. Totally incorrect. He ended up being the last guy off the board. We will get to him. Malachi Moore was the fourth player off the board for Alabama. Goes in the fourth round to the Jets, number 30 overall. I don't think he's going to do a whole lot this year. Probably going to be a special teams guy. You know, maybe rotationally find his way on the field for some defensive reps here and there. But, you know, the Jets are a dumpster fire. I kind of hate this for Malachi. I'm not going to say it's necessarily a good fit. It's kind of hard to project where he's going to fit in. I do think he can be a decent player in the NFL. He just needs to develop a little bit. I don't know that his game at Alabama was quite up to NFL speed.
Well, they've got him listed as the second strong safety behind Tony Adams. Their secondary, Sauce Gardner, Tony Adams, Andre Sisco, Brandon Stevens, and Michael Carter in the nickel. So they don't have him automatically starting, which I think it plays into his favor. I think Malachi Moore might be a career special teamer. Might be. I think you can work himself into a role, but at the baseline, I think that his career looks like, hey, you can cash checks specialty. Matthew Slater cashed checks for like 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, I could certainly see Malachi being that kind of guy where it's just, you know, the fans of that team know him and love him. The rest of the NFL world does not really know him, but like, hey, he is, you know, indebted himself to the fans of New York in 10 years' time as like, oh, this is our killer on punt return or on kickoff, whatever it is, you know. I could see him maybe taking on that role, and you know, not to be disrespectful to him at all, if he takes that role, you're still cashing NFL checks for a long time. So that's a good spot.
That's
to
what
be
it's
in.
All about at the end.
The next guy off the board, Q Robinson, 134 overall to the Broncos. I don't really similar to Malachi Moore. I don't really know where his role is going to be. I think he can probably work his way into being a rotational piece of their pass rush. I know I was reading some draft grades, and it seems like a lot of people are excited about what his top end could be. You know, the potential he flashed at Alabama, but that was always just kind of potential that he flashed. It was never really consistent performances. There was a reason he fell to the fourth round, even being, you know, where he is.
Injury was a big factor for Malachi. The injury his sophomore year with a back injury, and then not getting to do pre-draft stuff, sports hernia stuff, knocked his draft stock down.
Q Robinson, too.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Q Robinson getting hurt in the LSU game with the elbow and stuff. And never really being the starter.
Yeah, I don't know where this guy's going to be. Probably special teams also. Field goal.
you were thrown in there, Q, with Will Anderson, Dallas Turner, Chris Braswell. It's like, where do you find your lane?
So yeah, he comes off the board to the Broncos in the fourth round. Not sure how to project where he's going to be. You know, like I said, he'll probably find his way onto the field some, but I don't think he's going to really be a world beater out there. We mentioned Robbie Oates already, 175 overall to the Seahawks in the fifth round. I think Robbie Oates is just a football player through and through. Like, he will be a Seahawk for the next 15 years if he wants to be. I think they will be very, very happy. I was, you know, pretty much adamant that any team that drafts him is going to be a great fit just because of the type of player he is. Hard worker, just not afraid to do the things no one else wants to do on the field. We mentioned this earlier, like they now have probably in contention for one of the best tush push packages in the NFL with Robbie Oates and Jalen Milroe. So a really smart move, I think, to pair them back up. And then the final pick, Tim Smith. Goes in the sixth round, 190 overall to the Colts. I kind of expected him to go earlier than this, but I understand why he goes so late. Not really it doesn't jump off the page at you, and then also positional value. You know, it's not like he's a big-time edge rusher or anything like that. Just kind of I think going to work his way in is probably a rotational piece if he works his way in at all.
Yeah, I think that this is great for Tim to get drafted.
Not sure that he's long for the league.
Yeah, I'm with you as well. And maybe that's just my perception of him being at Alabama and not being a superstar. If you, I mean, shoot, Cam Sims was in the league for a long time and never was a superstar at Alabama. With the Commanders, practice squad and real roster. So, look, maybe our perception of the Alabama player is a little bit higher, too high, but I'm with you. I'm not sure that Tim Smith is going to be an NFL impact player.
So, like we said, in all, you had seven players drafted off of last year's team. Only two of which were first-round selections at non-premium positions. Excuse me, golly. I think that tells you all you need to know about last year's team and why they struggled the way that they did. You just didn't have that top-end NFL talent like you're used to having in Alabama. It was just... there's some of it kind of in the waiting, but it had not quite developed yet, and I think this year maybe we will see it come to fruition a bit more. But the next topic, we can move off the NFL draft. I want to get into recruiting just a little bit. This week saw Alabama... I think two of its top prospects in the 2026 class make some important changes to their recruiting schedules. And then they also were named as a finalist for two other very highly rated four-star prospects. So first five-star running back Brandon Arrington and five-star athlete Brandon Arrington and five-star running back Xavier Crowell both updated their commitment dates this week. Arrington will now be committing on July 5th, and Crowell basically just said he will not be committing on December 31st. He has not announced a new date yet. But I have to imagine it's coming pretty soon. He did pick up the crystal or the Steve Wiltfong from On Three prediction to pick Alabama shortly after his visit on A-Day. So probably something within the next, I would imagine, month or two that we will see. But I don't really have any specifics there. But Crowell is a prospect, previously a member of the 2027 class, reclassified earlier this year. I think it was in January, maybe early February, that he reclassified. He's insane. Two seasons of varsity football, over 3,700 yards on the ground and 56 touchdowns. Kind of your perfect running back build. He's like 5'11", 205, just kind of your prototypical guy that you want in the backfield there. So hopefully Alabama can get him. You know, obviously Alabama has a history of landing top tier running backs, and sometimes they kind of get lost in the shuffle here. But I think Crowell is a very special talent. You can tell by his production.
Man, the guys they've been after it on the recruiting trail, and I'm excited about AK Deer. And if they've identified, and AK Deer was a late switch, they were in on an Alabama running back. They moved to AK Deer. So if this Crowell kid,
Turbo Rogers.
Yep. This staff and their evaluation so far has really, really impressed me and given me a lot of security as far as if they like him, then he's probably good.
Yeah. The next guy, Brandon Arrington, an athlete prospect, like I said, from California, 6'2", 180, plays wide receiver, defensive back, also a star on his high school's track team, holds the California sophomore record in the 200 meters, 20.55 seconds. Now I had to look up to see.
My foster parents didn't just teach me to fish. They taught me that persistence and patience pay off. They didn't just teach me to bake the perfect birthday cake. They also taught me to measure and meet my own potential. They didn't just teach me to garden. They taught me to plant seeds and watch them grow. And they didn't just teach me to walk. They taught me to stand on my own two feet. Foster a child and change their future. Visit youthvillages.org/foster.
Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get not that good at it yet. You could do about half of your New Year's resolution. You could learn a few songs on the piano or pick up bass guitar. Or you could start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So, try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your home. Hims provides you with the convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized, chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Like how fast that was. That boy's moving. That dude is fast as hell. 20.5. I don't remember now exactly what the world record was, but like for him to be a sophomore in high school and he did it, it was shockingly close. I think this guy is going to be an electric and incredibly dynamic player. Just another guy that you hope Alabama can get a commitment from. I do think he was here for junior day in February and was very high on Alabama after that. I don't remember which publication it was that he talked to, but you know, you read the story and he's, oh, Alabama's the team to beat, all this, you know, raving about his time here in Tuscaloosa. He has taken some other visits since then. I know he spent some time at Oregon. I know he spent some time at Penn State. And I think he's got visits to go back to those places this summer as well. But I think he has enjoyed his visits to Alabama. So maybe he will be committing on July 5th. Maybe he'll be announcing that he is joining the Crimson Tide. The other two, the two players, both of them four stars that named Alabama as finalists, one in his top four, one in his top five. Again, can we just do a top three and be done with it, folks?
Just let me know when you're coming.
Tired of it, but
just let me know. Yeah, when your date is.
Yeah, Nick Abrams did not give us a commitment date. Not either of these guys gave us a commitment date. They just gave us a top schools. But Nick Abrams second, and Caden Dixon Wyatt. Abrams a linebacker. Dixon Wyatt a wide receiver. Abrams 6'2", 215. He's from Owings Mill, Maryland. 77 tackles, 9 tackles for loss, and 4.5 sacks last year as a junior. Also had an interception and a blocked punt. So a really dynamic linebacker, I think, can do a lot of things, can play a lot of roles, kind of a la Jihad Campbell, where, you know, you can just kind of sit him out there and he can figure out where he fits in well. He can play a lot of different spots. He was in Tuscaloosa in March of this year. He didn't come. He wasn't here for a day, as far as I know. And I don't think he's locked in another visit for this summer, but I do think he's in the process of announcing some for other schools. So maybe Tuscaloosa will be coming down the pipeline here. Caden Dixon Wyatt, very excited about this guy as a wide receiver. Has the modern day pedigree. You know, they've produced countless incredible prospects. I mean, you run down a whole list of guys that have come to Alabama, guys that have gone to other schools across the country, guys that are now in the NFL, producing. He, you know, comes from modern day, 6'2", 180. Again, in the same vein of, like, I think Alabama is just targeting guys now at wide receiver who are like 6'1 and above. I don't really know that they're after the 5'10, 5'11, speedy, shifty slot guys anymore.
Well, is it because that you're also going after corners who are 6'2 and 6'1 and 6'3? is DeBoer just saying, oh, we're just going to get the longest, the tallest? I mean, I loved you, Jalen Waddle. But
your kind might be
extinct.
Yeah, like that kind of receiver might be going extinct in these days. I don't know. I mean, you know, there is still a spot for a player like that, but certainly it felt at Alabama you kind of backed yourself up with too many of the same type of wide receiver. Now, I don't know if they are overcorrecting here by kind of only going after these taller, lengthier targets, but it does feel like there's still a bit of variance between what they're going. You know, you've got guys ranging from 6'1" all the way up to, I think, Isaiah Horton is like 6'5". So, you know, you got a little bit of variance there. No, you're just none of the real small guys. But where was I? 50 receptions last year. He wasn't overly productive last season at Mater Dei, but again, that's at Mater Dei, one of the top high school football programs in the entire country, and he was only a junior on that team. So there's guys ahead of him. He was running through the list. I think they had one or two receivers that are at Power 5 schools now, or Power 4 schools now. So those guys were kind of getting the brunt of the receptions and things for Mater Dei. But he had 50 catches for over 600 yards and 6 touchdowns as a junior. I would have to imagine that probably takes a large uptick in his senior season this year. And maybe we will see him commit to Alabama whenever he does make that decision. He's going to be visiting in May, I think. So hopefully, maybe I can get a chance to talk with him after he gets here, and we'll find out. Oh, that's all the recruiting I have, though. I do want to get a little bit into basketball talk. Move off the recruiting trail onto the basketball court. And this week, the Tide finally welcomes another transfer portal prospect. But like I said earlier, maybe it was not the name everybody was hoping to hear. Tarleton State transfer Keaton Bristow comes to Alabama this week. I believe he announced his commitment on Wednesday. You know, younger player, still has 3 years of eligibility, 11.3 points, 4.3 rebounds per game in the WAC last season. This guy does not really move the needle for me. And I know that may sound mean. I'm not trying to be disrespectful to Mr. Bristow whatsoever. You know, Nate Oates and this staff know a lot more about basketball than I do. You know, they've got more basketball knowledge in their pinky than I have in my whole body. So I'm going to cautiously trust their judgment here. But I don't know, everything I've seen, the bits I've been able to watch. Joe, you told me about a video where it really kind of broke down not only the highlights but also his weaknesses as a player. And I just don't know that I see him being overly successful here.
I started in your camp, and I'm still largely in that camp. Joe, let's think about this a little deeper. Take is, I wonder if Coach, if the things that we saw in this little video, there's about a 6-minute video of all the shooting and all the turnovers and all the blocks and all the steals and just kind of all the things he's doing, all the assists. He's got a good little assist rate.
Good block rate.
I wonder if Coach Oates is going to maybe not put the ball in his hands as much as Tarleton State. Hey, man, you're a good catch and shoot. You're a good spot-up shooter. Hey, brother, we want to get you down there. You know, when you catch it, you're either passing it or you're shooting it. You're not dribbling. I think we got to give a little room for Coach Oates to actually coach this player and mold him. But I'm with you. The clay that I see,
it's got some rocks in it.
Yeah.
You know, it's streaky. It's
Yeah. Now, Coach Oates, I think he can, shape and sculpt and make it work. And, yeah, they're at 6'9", 175 or whatever, decent three-point percentage. Yeah, I mean, the clay is there, but I think that Coach, we're just going to have to trust Coach to sculpt a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, the strengths, I think he, like you said, I think he's a willing rebounder. I don't think he's not afraid to get down and dirty in the paint. I think you see that in the highlights, but he's not overly skilled one way or the other. You know, 32% from three last year, and a lot of those were kind of spot up, wide open. He's taken 2.5 seconds to get his shot up. Nobody's even close to him threes. But, we will see. I'm going to choose to trust Nate Oates because he's not steered us wrong up to this point. So I'm going to be okay with that. The name that fans were probably hoping to hear instead of Keaton Bristow was Rylan Griffin. Now, Rylan Griffin was in Tuscaloosa, what was it, last week, maybe the week before, I think, on a visit, taking a picture of his, the Final Four trophy that he helped accomplish. I don't really understand why you have to take a visit back to Tuscaloosa when you have already gone to school here for a year. I don't know what's new now that you need to see, but that's beside the point. It's not looking like, as of this morning, I think we were kind of talking about it yesterday. Oh, maybe Nate Oates, it's kind of the ball is in Nate Oates' court right now. He's kind of making the decision on whether or not he wants to let Rylan come back. Maybe Rylan wants to, but the staff is unsure. This morning, picks up the crystal ball prediction to Texas A&M. Now, I don't know if that is confirmation that the staff has made their decision, but it does not seem like Ryland Griffin will be suiting up for the Crimson Tide again, at least as of right now.
Yeah, I got a little, as you said, the Texas A&M. I don't know if it's, I don't know. It's total speculation. Yeah. I don't know if it's Nate didn't want him back or Nate has other options in the portal that he's looking at, or Texas A&M came through with a big offer.
So many things, so many different things that it could be.
Yeah. It's difficult. Yeah.
So you really just don't know. And maybe he ends up being in Alabama. You just never know.
Crystal balls.
But one other, one thing that is certainly, I think, contributing to that unknownness, is that even a word? Is the potential return.
To the unknown.
There we go. The potential return of LeBaron Filon. There are some signs maybe pointing that he wants or will be returning because the feedback maybe hasn't quite been what he sought after. I'm not 100% sure. I'm not, connected. I'm not there in his camp, but our friend Hunter Siver does write this week on Bama Central about LeBaron's appearance on a podcast where he says, I would say 100% draft, but things can change. You never know. And that's a whole lot of nothing, really, but you read the tea leaves a little bit, you put your tinfoil hat on, you start doing your little conspiracy, connecting your red lines, drawing your dots and things. To me, that says that previously I was 100% for the draft, but now I've started to get a little bit of feedback I wasn't looking for, so I'm starting to be a little bit more open to a return.
Yeah, hey, Roll Tide for us. That's good news. I think that's something that we were maybe projecting. You never know. He's going to go through one of these pre-draft workouts, and some team says, yeah, we're taking you for sure.
I hope for his sake that he does not get misled by a team into thinking,
don't get Charles,
I'm
going
to be a first-round pick, and then he does not get to be a first-round pick. If that is, if he's not going to be a first round selection, I hope for his sake he just comes back to Alabama, because I think that's your best bet. I don't think it's worth going and being a second round pick in the NBA when you have the option to come back to school, play another year, and then also potentially play yourself into being a first round selection.
Yeah, I mean, come on, LeBaron. Look at JD. Look at Bediako.
Yeah,
those two. I mean, if you want to be JD, that's fine. You can go be in the G League
that's
and work
the
yourself.
Best example. He won G League MVP. We went through it the other day. He's not made a lot of money in his year, in his career up to this point. I think he's played, 15 NBA games or something like that. He's averaged, 6 minutes in those games, if that. It's a long, long grind to get to the league. If you're taking that path as a later round pick who's going to get started in the G League, it's just I think it's much more. I just think it's a smarter decision to not do that.
Yeah, you can come back, make you not as much money, but people love you here, and you'll play less games, less wear and tear. I'm sure, yes, okay, a little pressure for let's get to the national championship game, let's get to the Final Four, but if
at
you
the
don't,
end of the day,
right.
Nobody really is going to be mad at you.
Yeah, we're all just going to be happy that you come back.
Yes. I hope I selfishly hope that he returns, but if he chooses not to return, hope he's a first-round pick. But we will just have to see. I don't know exactly when the final deadline is. I think it's in June, isn't it, for players to say
it's
whether or not
they're
going
to
be.
It's pretty close to the actual draft.
Yeah, I think it's not long before the actual NBA draft when players NBA have to make their official draft designation whether or not they're going to be returning to school or going to the draft.
June 15th at 5 o'clock.
But even then, I saw some people throwing this out with the NFL draft this past week. I don't know that the NCAA could ever do anything to actually enforce any rules. See, hey, if he wants to just go up past the deadline and then come back, he probably could. Who knows? I don't think anybody.
Well, that's the right. Just sue.
Yeah, I saw a lot of people saying Shedeur Sanders needed to do that.
And Quinn Ewers sue.
Yeah, it's just I don't think anybody has the power to stop you. So just do whatever you want, buddy. Welcome back. If you go all the way up to the night of the draft, and if you don't hear your name, you give Nate Oates a call and you say, Coach, I want to come back, and we'll figure it out. We'll make it happen. I believe they probably could make it happen. Oh, man. But that's, we don't have any insider knowledge there. Just something to really keep an eye on if you are following the Bama Hoops offseason as closely as we are. We will keep you updated on it, you know. But keep your eye on that. Maybe LeBaron comes back. We got a little bit to find out, but I am leaning towards maybe he does, and that's just my own personal, you know, feeling, gut feeling. But I just feel like, you know, maybe he does. The final topic we have today is going to be a pretty quick one, because to be honest with you, and I say this every week, I do these sports in a injustice by talking about them because I know so little about baseball and softball. I really need to get one of the experts on here to break it down for us. Maybe next week we'll try that. But both teams pick up a massive series sweep against Missouri this week, one step closer to potentially both teams hosting regionals. Baseball moves on tonight to take on Vanderbilt in Nashville at 6 p.m. Still needs another series win. You know, I talked about it last week. If you go back on Bama Central, you can read Will Miller's story about what the baseball team needed to do to get in position to maybe host a regional, and it was basically win out the rest of the year. So we will see if they can do that against the, you know, highly touted Vanderbilt Commodores. I'm not sure how easy that's going to be. But we've seen this team pull out some impressive things this year. I still think at their best, they're, you know, a really, really good baseball team. I just don't know that they're necessarily getting that consistently every week. Softball, like I said, also picked up the series sweep against Missouri. That was huge for them potentially being able to host. And I think they're going to South Carolina tonight to play at 6. South Carolina currently 10th in the SEC, Bama currently 8th. So you pick up another win here, that could be huge for your resume and just for the standings as a whole.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But that's really all I have today, Joe, unless you have anything else for us.
No, brother. It's going to be a great weekend on the diamond. The ladies already won last night. South Carolina.
Yes.
They got two.
They did start last night. They ruled them. Yeah.
They got two more against South Carolina. Can the boys take one from Vanderbilt and Nashville? Can they take two?
I don't know. It's going to be very tough. You know. Stay locked in. Will Miller, I think, will be having all of your coverage this weekend. He is the most locked into Crimson Tide. If you want to know about this baseball team, like, you go to Bama Central, go to Alabama Crimson Tide on SI, you hit that baseball tab, and it's story after story after story of information.
He's got it all.
Yeah, but like I said, that's all we have for today. I want to thank everybody for listening. Remind you all to follow Joe and myself on Twitter at JoeGaither6, at MAWoods_. Make sure to subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get your podcast from. Leave us a 5-star rating. We will be back next week with more Crimson Tide news on the All Things Bama podcast.
My foster parents didn't just teach me to fish. They taught me that persistence and patience pay off. They didn't just teach me to bake the perfect birthday cake. They also taught me to measure and meet my own potential. They didn't just teach me to garden. They taught me to plant seeds and watch them grow. And they didn't just teach me to walk. They taught me to stand on my own 2 feet. Foster a child and change their future. Visit youthvillages.org/foster.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.